and I was thinking about our conversation last time when we were. Bless you.
I don't know what that was. No, it was a reverse burp. I don't know how that happened. It was like a burp and a sneeze at the same time. I hope that never happens again because it doesn't feel good.
I bet when you're old, it's going to happen all the time. I'm sorry to tell you, but as someone older and wiser.
This is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you.
Welcome to My Racist Friend, a podcast about the messy parts of relationships that help us grow together. I'm Amy McKeese.
And I'm Don Griffin.
Hi, Don.
Hey, what's up?
I've been obsessing over 30 seconds of music. Actually, it's probably like 75 seconds.
Okay.
So that makes it a little bit better. We were talking about that, you know, if everyone who is opposed to, you know, like having chaplains be school counselors or replacing the word gender with biological sex or critical race theory, then it gets more and more powerful, right? But it was still a sad conversation. The reason it had that line in it in that bill about marriage is between a man and a woman is because that's still in Indiana code.
Oh, it is.
That line is a part of the Indiana law. As soon as in their dreams it gets overturned, it would revert in Indiana.
Okay. I got
it. So that's why that's in there. That was already there. The ACLU is like, oh, that's so old.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just an example of where gender was used.
Okay. And you know, honestly, I asked all my friends at it in PAX, and they're like, Don, where you been at? This is big
but
news.
The ACLU website says it's failed.
That's not.
But I don't see that on the bill. On the bill tracker, it just says it's gone to judicial. So I don't know if that means it's in judicial and there's enough people there that think it's stupid that it won't advance. I feel like I know a lot less this time, even though I'm since finding that I've been trying to be good and pay attention. And so we're talking about staying in Indiana, and this is one part of a song that I love, but I played this. This is the part that I've been playing over and over, and I'm going to read it to you. Okay. It's going to be weird and awkward because I'm reading lyrics.
Can you sing them?
No. These streets, quiet as a sleeping army, send their battered dreams to heaven. To heaven. For the mother's restless son, who is a witness to, who is a warrior, who denies his urge to break and run. Who says, hard times, I'm used to them. The speeding planet burns, I'm used to that. My life's so common, it disappears. And sometimes, even music cannot substitute for tears. Do you get it?
I think.
Were you looking at the boombox? Like, not running away. That's the first part I liked, you know, denies his urge to break and run. And I understand this is just how it is. And I'm not unique in it being really hard because it's just really hard. My life's so common, it disappears.
You're sad. Anyway,
it isn't, though. Like, I feel like it's, I don't think of it as sad.
It sounds like it's saying everybody suffers.
Right. Is that sad? If everybody suffers? Like, if suffering is just, you know.
If you're not taking it to the place where you're saying, I give up.
Right.
They're not saying that they're giving up. He's saying, like.
He says, I'm not going to run away from this.
Is he saying he was going to change it, though? that he's going to change, or he's just not going to stop living?
If I had read a longer section, the part before that is, I believe in the future we shall suffer no more, maybe not in my lifetime,
okay,
but in yours. I needed sure. that. I don't think that's true, but
I needed that. Are you sure that's what it does say that?
Yes, it says that. The part I don't think is true is the words.
What's the words? Say the words again.
I believe in the future we shall suffer no more. Maybe not in my lifetime, but in yours, I feel sure. Song dogs barking at the break of dawn.
Mm.
Lightning pushes the edges of the thunderstorm. Any streets quiet as a sleeping army.
So I told you.
Send their better dreams.
Yeah, I know the song you're talking about.
To heaven.
Maybe not in your lifetime. Maybe not in your child's lifetime. Maybe not. But you have to push on. You have to strive for better. I like that. I actually like that first part. Think about slaves that had to.
Yeah,
think
I guess
about that. They had to keep going.
Yeah.
You know what? And it didn't get better in a lot of their lifetime.
Yeah.
And they had to keep going. Not just slaves, but anyone
no,
who
I'm,
suffered. They
I'm,
have to. They have to. I mean, in fact, oh my God, we. I don't want to get depressing, but as soon as we are born, we're dying.
Yes. There's a They Might Be Giants song about that.
Hmm.
It's you're older than you've ever been, and now you're even older.
Yeah. Having a chance to live is the prize. To experience
yeah.
love, to experience laughter, to experience, you know?
Right. So it doesn't feel sad to me, because if I think I'm the only one suffering, or if I think suffering is something that doesn't happen very often, then it's something bad about me.
Hmm.
Or maybe I deserve it. If things are hard and you can choose to keep going, and you can choose to, I guess, send your prayers up, although that's not how I would necessarily see it. But if you can choose that, even when there's that much sadness and hard stuff, then that feels like a happy, not happy, but like a really meaningful thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm listening to that over and over, I'm probably falling into a thought hole about what are we doing? Why are we here? I've been dying since the day I was born. that kind of thing. Oh my gosh. And now I feel like I'm doing it wrong because I don't want to be Debbie Downer.
What do you mean?
Well, it feels to me less lonely to think, oh, everyone struggles. My life's so common, it disappears. It's just hard. And I'm going to stay and keep doing stuff and look at the stars. That's one of the verses. He's looking at stars.
Mm-hmm. It's embracing life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's embracing life. And I think maybe you're right. I guess I need to listen to the whole thing. But he's kind of saying, you know, it seems like a big problem. But like you said, everybody's got problems. And it's going to, I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
And I have not listened to Paul Simon.
Ever? Your whole life?
Da 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 da. Because I love horns.
Yeah.
Yeah. So of course I like that album.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Simon and Garfunkel. I played the songs in band.
Did we play Simon and Garfunkel?
I mean, jazz band. There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You're gonna make me listen.
I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm not the boss of you.
No, but you've piqued my interest.
That's the cool, cool river in Rhythm of the Saints, in case you wondered. I do. I like that whole album.
But you're saying you're not a Simon and Garfunkel's fan. You're more like
I'm more of a Simon fan. Yeah. I guess I didn't want to be everything sucks all the time. I wanted to be everything sucks, and there's the possibility of working toward better things. So you keep doing that, and you find meaning in the moment now, even as everything sucks.
From my perspective, I've got money that I never thought I'd ever have. Got success. Got a lovely family.
You do.
I got a house that I've always wanted and a neighborhood I've always wanted.
Dog.
I got a dog. I got a wonderful dog. Got great parents. For me, it's not about being happy with what you have. How can I be completely happy when others are suffering?
at least for me, I can say that part of why it's so hard to really slow down and take in suffering that isn't already mine is because I can see like the path where that's me.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes, is it? Yeah.
Real. Yeah.
And then it's also the future. Also, it's about our children. You know what I mean?
Right. But then what's theirs?
What do you mean?
Well, like if ours is about our children and making the future better for our children.
I don't mean just our individual children.
I know. Well, but what I'm saying is that was the thought hole that I fell into. Like the why are we here? What are we doing? What's the purpose? Like, why stay in Indiana if Indiana's going to be dumb? Well, making it better for the future, but then, like, is the future going to be better? Because, you know, we've already pretty much destroyed the planet. So, like, that's not something we can walk.
Oh, my God.
We're not
going to
be able to walk it back,
I don't
right?
go into your home.
Well, my point is.
Yes. Maybe it's not too late. Oh, Jesus.
No, no. Maybe. Sure. Maybe there's, like, some amazing superpower scientist somewhere that tomorrow is going to announce that they've found a way to reverse climate change and it's all going to be okay.
Or maybe this has happened before and we escaped the planet that we screwed up last time and we landed here and we'll do it again.
I just went to Men in Black and the flashy thingy.
Yeah, right? Oh my
now
God.
I want to go home and watch Men in Black.
Okay.
Anyway, so Men in Black flashy thinged us, and it turns out that we escape in the end and go to another planet and screw that one up, and then...
Is that what happens in Men? Okay, I didn't know that.
No, that's what you just described. You said maybe we landed here, but we forgot.
That's so many, though. That's so many. Right?
And then in the end, it turns out it was purgatory all along. No. So my thought hole... The reason that I'm talking about the thought hole is because if I think about it too long and I start to think, well, I'm doing this for my kids, but will they be able to do it for their kids? Are we on the edge of Parable of the Sower or the futuristic books where it's already all gone to hell? And then I get a little bit despondent when that happens.
But can you control any of that? You can't. We can't control
don't fix
any
me.
Of that.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
I'm not trying to fix you. I'm not trying to fix you. I'm just trying to say.
So I have to think of like, okay, so what are we doing? What's the purpose? On the off chance that we don't either escape to a different planet or get everything solved tomorrow, what's the purpose? And why am I getting out of bed and going to work and doing all this? And it's love. That's why.
You do what you do because of love.
I do everything. Yeah.
Love because for other people or love for yourself or love for...
Love.
Just love in general.
Love as like the space between us. Love is the connective tissue. That's what I think of. If I'm doing things that aren't helping me connect, I'm breaking and running instead of staying with it.
It reminds me of a conversation I had. About you.
About me?
Yeah.
Why are you talking
people,
about
like, me? They were talking about how you connect people. And I think it was after you connected Dexter with...
Ken Carbajal.
And Dexter was in the reimagining opera.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I remember that.
And then we were... And it's funny. We were sitting somewhere at an auditorium. I remember not, it was either an auditorium or a sports... thing, and somebody else was like, oh, you know Amy, that's why I'm here. It was so funny, and it was like, oh my gosh, Amy is that connector. Amy is a person that puts people together.
I do you like do. To be like, oh, you would like each other.
You do. So yeah. If I can see that. That is one of your superpowers.
I want to define it a little bit, the whole idea of love and connection, because I think sometimes it gets misconstrued. I realize that, so I am like super patient most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. And I am much more likely to like sort of turn, have my neck turn red and then just sort of wander off than I am to like be confrontational or cranky. But that's not like doing that isn't love either. Like love doesn't mean like not saying things when you're perturbed. In fact, love could mean that you do say things mm-hmm. when you're upset. It feels like too big of a question, but I sort of want to be like, what gives your life meaning, Don? Like, when do you feel like this is what it is?
You know, I have those moments with my family mm-hmm. and my, you know, whether they're my parents or my sisters, talking to me and my sisters now. And I'm not a prayer. I'm just not something that I've always, you know, but one of my sisters suggested that we meet we talk. They live in California, but we will Zoom each other or FaceTime or do the FaceTime each other. And we'll pray like once a week together, which is really cool, which it was something I was like, I got it, but it's something that I enjoy, you know, and there is this thing about collectively praying that I think actually it does something, you know, mm-hmm. anyway, or just seeing my parents, you know, as our parents get older, those moments with your parents, you realize, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a new chapter in my life in the sense that for the longest time, I think I said to myself, you know what, you're not here to necessarily enjoy life. You're here to serve. Mm-hmm. You're not here to be served. You're here to serve.
Mm-hmm.
But this second round, I think I'm going to learn to enjoy a little bit more. Enjoy the people around. You know what I mean? Because with that kind of mentality, you are not taking time to spend with the people that love you the most.
Mm-mm.
You're serving other people that don't necessarily care about you. That's not being a good son, father, husband, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I kept thinking while you were saying that was mutuality. Not serving, not being served, but like helping each other, like being connected, moving each other.
I've had trust issues by life, you know?
Yeah.
Growing up here, I'm on guard. Whether it was when I was a child, whether I was in middle school, high school, growing up.
And that's reasonable.
I'm always on guard. And it's not like I've tried to shrink myself so that people can't see me. I realized real soon that there's no way I can be shrunk.
You're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So going into some place, I have to have this tough exterior. Like, I'm going to get made fun of. I'm going to get torn to pieces, but I'm going to go in here anyway. And if I don't get help, I'm going to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to have that mentality. And it has left little room for... But then again, I've probably missed out on a lot of good relationships because I have had that, have not...
Well, maybe. And that you can... explore new ideas, like expand your horizons. People can come together and move and be moved by each other.
Mutuality.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then the other thing that, you know, that you were on guard, the part I was just chewing on this morning was about how we pathologize things that really make a lot of sense. Like instead of saying, boy, Don's really angry or Don's really well protected, you know, like, or tough, or like, however you want to say it, because of growing up here, we could say that you have adapted to where you are in a reasonable way and sort of celebrate those strengths that have gotten you to where you are now.
Yeah.
You're pretty cool.
No, I'm not cool. I'm just saying, think about it. There's been two articles in the news recently.
Yeah.
That has my face on it, and it's never been a thing, an issue for anyone else.
Yeah.
And yet it became news stories, not for just one guy, but then the damn IU picked up on it, did the same damn news story. It's hard to be not have my guard up and be like, I got to put on that armor and be like, hey, I'm Don Griffin. you got to tell, you got to prepare yourself every day because I'm not going to go out and cry about it. You know what I'm saying? Then again, I have to find people that want to be friends with me when they see that stuff in the paper. You know, you just never know. They might not want to be.
Why would they not want to be friends with you?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm teasing partially, but.
Yeah, I really, all of this is to say that I spent some time today thinking about how much you mean to me.
I didn't mean to get off even in that, but it's just, we were just talking, you know, I want to be that person that just enjoys life.
And sometimes you're enjoying it and sometimes you're not.
Yeah, and I enjoy being me. We all, going back to the lyrics, we all have...
My life's so common.
Yeah, right? My issues are not... I'm not special.
You're special, but not special.
Exactly. We all have our cross to bear.
Yeah.
So, let's get going. Let's keep it up.
Yeah, so when you just said that, I started thinking about the people who I get angry at, and then trying to think, what are they carrying? And I am... You know me, I'm not here to say it's okay to be a bigot or hurt people at all. And I think I have to be curious about what their suffering is, too.
You do, but it doesn't give them a right to hurt.
No. I'm not.
Because we all hurt. I love the DC and the Marvel stuff in the comic books where the hero and the villain both get hurt. And the only difference is deciding what you're going to do with that hurt, whether you're going to help other people or hurt other people. I can listen to what got people to where they're at, but, you know.
If the reason I'm here, like if like my, what gives life meaning is love, and that I am not running away, what am I hoping to do? Like when I hear about, there was a kid killed in a high school in a bathroom. The other kids believed them to be in the wrong bathroom, or the details aren't super important, I don't think, except that it was transphobic, right? And when I think of how I want to make the world safe for those kids and how I want to hold my heart like open so that it's so that I feel when that happens, the fear that like brings through me, how do I keep finding love there in a way that's meaningful? Because then I do get to the place where I'm like, the planet's ruined. I need the men in black to come do a flashy thingy so that I don't remember.
I can't find love for that kind of hate. I can't. That's my problem. I mean, I can't. Do you know how much hate it takes to kill someone? You know, you killed a living person.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. I mean, with hands, with probably no weapon, or are you? We really need to think about what that means. What you just said and what that means, and just
like I feel like I know what it means.
That should just make us all just. It's furious.
But then what do we do with that? Like, do we make it so that any kids with the potential to be killers in the bathroom, then what do we do with our anger toward them? How do we use it in a constructive way that helps us, that actually makes a difference, that like honors?
I don't know, but I think we're not, I first think we need to get mad enough. I think we need to get mad enough. I think it's okay to get mad enough. I've seen this country rally around so many things and get mad and then come up with solutions.
Really?
Well, you know what I mean. Sometimes they're not the best solutions.
let's go
to war with a country that didn't do it. Let's, you know, but damn
right.
It.
I guess that's what I'm saying is like, I don't want to traumatize an entire generation. After 9/11, we basically...
But damn it, these are children. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not getting mad enough. Not enough of us are being like, oh, hell no. USA, USA. Like, we're not going to do, like, you know what I mean? You got to remember, this is a country that would kill a black little boy for whistling at a white woman.
Yeah.
Are you freaking kidding me? You could get mad at that, but you can't get mad at a child
I'm furious.
No, I'm not you.
Yeah, but
I'm saying us as a, you know, like, I feel like we're already giving grace for that kind of hatred.
Well, and I guess so there's part of my question is, what does that mean? What, like, giving grace and love and all of that? I guess that's where I'm saying, if you love the child who's about to beat someone up and you see them going into the restroom, the loving thing to do isn't to let them go into the restroom.
No.
It's to stop them.
Yeah, you know.
And moving forward, how do we stop them before they're, like, now we stop them before they go in the hallway and they're alone, right? We make sure that there's eyes and there's safe grown-ups around, right?
Well, no. Maybe I'm wrong, I'm just upset by this. But we need a culture that says, you don't do that. Like, are you, dude, that's stupid. What are you doing?
Right, but we can be a culture that says we don't do that. We can be a culture that even stands in and stops it from happening. And it is like I had this like super intense debate with our oldest. It was a similar energy. And I was saying that if I could, like, it'd be okay for me to die. Like, I'm going to, because I've been on that path since I was born. In protecting my kids, than it would be for me to kill someone in protecting my kids, because I don't want to add to the hatred that's out there. And I know we've gone here before and I get stuck here. So this is one of my thought holes. Like, how do you love the world that can be hateful? And how do you show that love in a meaningful way that protects the most vulnerable as well? I am not saying let kids go beat up kids in the bathroom. Well,
I know you're
right?
Not. No. But I want to think like you. No, I do. I do. But I
was listening 75 seconds.
No, I in that scenario that you talk about where to protect your person, I'm coming out swinging. I just am. I'm not trying to kill anybody. But I'm not trying to be killed, and I'm coming.
I'm not trying to be killed.
I know you're not, but I'm not. I don't want that.
I do know some Hapkido.
There you go.
Actually, my first choice would be not to be in a situation where lives are at risk in the bathroom or wherever I am.
See, I did something. It was last week. I think it was last week. I was driving on Walnut Street, and right there in front of the old Sahara Mart, there's this guy. He crosses the street. He's yelling at some. He's coming from the park, and there's guys sitting there on the wall. Two guys sitting on the wall, and they're all yelling, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they're like fighting to the death. One guy, his head hits the curb, and so my dumb ass. Apparently, I get out of the car, and I go and tell them to stop. You know, the guy's knocked out. He's on the ground. Yeah. Stop kicking him. Stop hitting him. It's done. I am on the phone with the police, and they're like, well, go. Somebody's coming. Make sure he's okay. So I go, and I stay there, and I wait till he, you know, but the guy starts waking up, and things got, oh, God, it's terrible.
Jeez.
And then they finally come. And then I leave. My barber sends me this video. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, oh, God, I was there. And I see the guys fighting. And then I see this idiot get out of his car and stop these stupid. And I'm like, oh, my God. What was I thinking? What was I doing?
You were loving right then. You were loving the whole world.
They could have had something else. They could have had it. I didn't have to do that. All I had to do was maybe pull over.
Maybe honk your horn real loud, like right there,
or whatever. But yeah, it happened that there's another barber there, And her sister was behind me, and she was the one videotaping this, and we didn't even know each other. It was the craziest. So yeah, literally 15 minutes later.
Is this like all over the internet and I missed it? Or
No. Because okay. I told him not. He was going to put it on. I said, do not put that on. Jeez. Do not do that. It's never going to go viral, but it's just, it's anything could have happened to me. Maybe I could have made it more dangerous. It's just.
But you described yourself stepping in to stop a fight.
Huh?
You stepped in to stop a fight. That's what you were doing. Did I misunderstand? Yeah.
No, yeah, but seeing it, actually having somebody videotape it and showing it makes you realize how dumb you really are. Like, what am I doing?
I want you to be safe. I want you to go home at the end of the day, and I don't want you to, like, hit your head on anything or anything like that. And also, like, that's who you are.
Yeah, well.
And I think that is not dumb.
Hmm.
I think it was definitely some kind of a trauma response, because you're describing yourself like you don't quite remember it.
Oh, I hadn't.
Yeah.
Had not understood it. Just I saw something happening. That happened to me, and I would have wanted somebody. I think I would have wanted somebody.
You would have
to
wanted
come
someone
in.
To stop for you.
Yeah, but there was probably 10 or 12 cars right there, right around 5 o'clock.
Did anyone else stop?
No. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Right. That would have been, it would have been better.
If everyone stopped.
God dang it. Yeah. Well, the people had to stop that were behind me because I was just there.
In the road.
In the road.
I do like that. You're like, if I'm going to stop, then y'all are at least going to be mildly inconvenienced.
Yes. That's what I mean. That's who we need to be as a society. There's no way in hell we should be living in a place where this person got killed by several people in a bathroom. And people heard it from outside of the bathroom, damn it. They had to. Come on, man. No. That is not who we should be. I hope that this didn't happen in Indiana, did it? It probably happened in Texas or something.
Oklahoma. But, I mean, it could be Indiana.
It could very well have been Indiana. We need people to be passionately stopping the same kind of passion that we had for 9/11 and everything else that we get passionate about, human life, love. We need to be passionate about love.
Yeah.
This episode of My Racist Friend is a production of the Bloomington Center for Connection, an organization using relational cultural theory to promote social change through connection. This conversation between Don Griffin Jr. and Amy McKees, LCSW, took place on February 19, 2024, in Bloomington, Indiana, and was edited for this podcast by Kevin McKees. Theme music lovingly sampled from Your Racist Friend by They Might Be Giants. Follow Bloomington Center for Connection on Facebook and other social media platforms. You and your racist friend.
Who is a witness to? Who is a warrior? Who denies his urge to break and run?
Can I work out to false
evidence? Who says? Oh, yeah. Hard times, I'm used to them. Spinning planet burns, I'm used to that.
He just sounds to me like
so common
a Bob Dylan that can actually sing. Pretty much.
What is happening around us?
I don't know.